How do you do? Few people have been more persecuted than Jews living in Poland. Long before the Holocaust of World War II, Polish Jews were beaten, driven from their homes, and even massacred. The man in this story was born there, the son of an Orthodox rabbi. He despaired of ever finding rest for his soul, and yet rest and peace came when his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Keep up, Abraham.
Why are they shooting at us, Papa?
They're not shooting at us. They're shooting at each other.
Then why are we leaving home?
Do you want to fall into the hands of the Russians or the Germans?
No.
Then keep up.
I'm so thirsty, Papa.
Everyone is thirsty. Maybe we find water in the next village.
Papa!
Silence! If you must talk, recite your prayers.
Bringing light into the darkness, this is Unshackled. True life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Homeless people are called all kinds of names, some disparaging, none uplifting. But those who come to Pacific Garden Mission are called brother or sister, and they're treated like part of the family. Every consideration is given at the old lighthouse to help the homeless find new life. Nourishing food, clean clothing, safe dormitories, classes, and counseling all provide the means for them to change, all made possible by the gifts of caring friends and listeners. New life comes from the name above all names, and like the man in this story, those who follow him are called by his name forever. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 2562 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. The man in our story was 11 years old during that forced march from his village in Poland during World War I. All night and the next day they trudged in the summer heat, but no one gave them water. After 6 weeks as homeless refugees, they returned home to find their village nearly obliterated. That kind of misery was commonplace for his people, and there was worse to come. This is the true story of Arthur Glass, right now on Unshackled.
I had rabbinical heritage on both sides of my family, so I was made to study the Torah when I was only 5 and the Talmud when I was 6. Since my father was a strict Orthodox rabbi, I had more religion in one day than most people have in a year. We said prayers at least 10 times a day, upon waking, while washing, then morning prayers, before and after eating each meal, then afternoon and evening prayers, and last of all, before going to sleep. My father was 62 when I was born, and was often impatient with me. He was a rigid instructor of the law, who punctuated any failure with a slap or a beating, often leaving bruises and blood from his attacks.
Cursed be the man that makes any graven or molten image an abomination unto the Lord, the works of the hands of the craftsman, and puts it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen.
Amen. Papa?
Huh?
Do the Gentiles have idols in their churches?
Yes. You see the results. They're unclean, drunk and disorderly. They observe none of the laws of God. They kill our people.
What kind of God do they serve who would let them be so cruel?
An illegitimate one.
They hate us because we are the chosen people, don't they?
Yes, yes. Now get back to your lesson.
Yes, sir.
Recite for me the 13 principles of faith.
Adonai exists. Adonai is one and unique. Adonai is without a body. Adonai is eternal. Prayer is to be directed to Adonai alone and to no other. I believe that the words of the prophets are true.
I believe with a perfect faith that the words of the prophet are true. You must memorize perfectly, Abraham, perfectly.
Our lives were governed by rigid rules and yearly feasts, none more agonizing than the Day of Atonement. After 24 hours of fasting and prayer, my mother's eyes were swollen from weeping. My father's face was dark with despair. They left the synagogue with no assurance that God had heard or forgiven their sins. Add to this the insults and cruelty of the Gentiles, especially during our holidays, and I felt no hope in Judaism or from God. Then, when I was 13,
Hope came to my sister and me through my brother, who had emigrated to Canada right after I was born.
Mama, Papa, it's a letter from Isaac.
Let me read it. What's this? He sent the immigration papers and documents?
What does it say, Papa?
He wants you to come to Canada.
He does? I'd love to go, Papa. Can I please?
How will you get there, Esther?
I'll sell my little business. They should give me enough money for passage on a ship.
Such a long journey by yourself.
Why don't I take Abraham along?
Abraham? He's too young.
I've had my bar mitzvah, Papa.
Papa, he has no future here. You know that. Everyone suffers since the war.
Can I go too, Papa? Please!
Let me think on this.
My parents let me go, and you cannot imagine my joy at leaving Poland and my poor and very old parents. It was May 1920 when we took the train all the way to Antwerp. For the first time in my life, I was treated like a human being. No one called me names, no one spit in my face or threw stones at me. When the big ocean liner began to move away from shore, I felt truly free. And I roamed at will on the ship because my sister was very seasick most of the time.
Oh, I think I'm going to die.
You'll be okay once we're on land again. I've talked with others, and you're not the only one who is seasick.
Oh, don't you be bothering other passengers. And don't be wandering all over the ship. You could get hurt.
But it's so interesting, Esther.
Abraham. Leave me alone.
Gladly. After 11 days at sea, the lights of Quebec welcomed us. As we were filing down the gangplank, a lady handed me a little blue-covered book, The Gospel of Matthew in Yiddish. Had the book been written in any other language, I would have thrown it away. Instead, I read it on the long train ride to Toronto, where my brother was waiting.
Esther, over here.
There's Isaac. Come on, Abraham.
You made it.
Surprise. Look who came with me. It's Abraham.
Hello, Isaac.
Why did you bring him?
Because life is miserable in Poland since the war. He'll have a better chance here.
I suppose we can find room for him. But you might have let me know.
I don't ever want to go back to Poland.
What's that in your hand?
A lady gave it to me as we left the ship in Quebec.
No Jew may read this filthy abomination. Don't you ever let me see you reading a book like that again.
I changed my English name to Arthur because people began to call me Abe. Being adventuresome, I discovered the Christian Community Center less than a block from our house. I wandered in one day out of curiosity and listened to the children's stories they told about Jesus. My brother found out.
Is it true you have been going in that foul place?
Well, yes, I was just curious.
You stay away from there. They might as well be lepers.
I didn't see anything wrong, Isaac. All they do is sing songs and tell stories.
They tell lies! Have you forgotten what Father taught us? Those people are enemies.
But they're very kind.
They hate Jews. You stay away from there. If I ever find out that you've been there again, I'll beat the life out of you.
My brother weighed 200 pounds while I was an emaciated runt, so I stayed away until one summer evening they showed films and cartoons on the outside of the building. Seeing the crowd of children, I settled among them, forgetting my brother's warning. When the film ended, a boy tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Your brother wants to see you." I went home quaking with fear. Isaac was livid.
Didn't I tell you not to go near that place again?
Isaac, I never went inside.
But you went in among the crowd of children to see the pictures, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
No! Oh!
Oh! No, Isaac! Please stop! You'll kill him!
He's going to learn!
Stop, please! He beat me with a sewing machine belt until I had black eyes, split lip, missing teeth, and bruises all over my body. I couldn't sleep that night because of the pain, and as soon as dawn came, I left my brother's house for good. The next year was one of intense suffering. Many nights I wept bitterly from the cold. Many days I had nothing to eat. Afraid to steal and ashamed to beg, I would go to the central Jewish marketplace and eat fruit that had been thrown away.
Apples! Apples, 50 cents a bushel.
Are you throwing this away?
Yes.
Could I have it?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's not worth anything. Apples, 50 cents a bushel. Apples.
Thoughts of suicide lingered in my mind. Lake Ontario would be an easy place to go. Then the words of the prophet Isaiah came to me. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. My knowledge of the scriptures kept me going. Then the Day of Atonement came.
Abraham, look at you, dressed in rags on such a day.
It's all I have.
I thought Isaac was looking after you.
Well, he's not.
Have you been to the synagogue?
I went, but they wouldn't let me in.
Why not?
I didn't have money to buy a ticket.
Oh, Abraham.
A guy threw me down the stairs. How could they do that?
It's the only way they can collect from Jews who don't pay the rest of the year.
But you know what it means. This is when Hashem determines whose names will be written for the next year or for life in the resurrection.
Don't be bitter, Abraham.
Why not? Look at Isaac. On the Sabbath, he reads the law in the synagogue, but as soon as he walks out, he tramples underfoot the very thing he reads.
God will judge.
We were taught to keep the whole law. Cursed is he that confirms not all the words of this Torah to do them.
You're taking this much too hard, Abraham.
No, I'm not. What's the use of trying? Judaism lost its hold on me. It could not remove the guilt of the past. It could not give me peace for the present and offered only doubt for the future. I felt an empty, aching void in my heart. So I looked to the world for amusement and satisfaction. Movies, clubs, and card playing. Without father's and mother's guidance, without religion to check me, I was like a car going downhill without brakes.
Stay with us to learn how Arthur's downhill slide was checked. We receive many requests for prayer at Pacific Garden Mission, even through the internet, from all over the world. Recently, we had this email message from the manager of the radio station that broadcasts Unshackled in Romania. He wrote, "We saw a young orphan girl who was very sad and hungry. Her legal papers and clothes were stolen that day, and she was molested. We bought her a meal and then took her to our apartment. On the way home, she told us that her favorite program on our station was Unshackled, and that she never missed a program. The next day, we took her to her doctor and helped her get a job. Pray for her." If you would like to be part of our prayer chain, part of God's plan to help others, write and tell us. We'll send you petitions every month or every 2 weeks, whichever you prefer. The address? Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
I learned to fend for myself, working as a carpenter and boarding with a Jewish family, even though I had abandoned Judaism as an empty shell. God kept me from many sins, but I was going downhill rapidly. Then God, in his tender mercy, brought a young Jewish lad into my life.
I'm Morris Kaminsky. I've seen you coming and going in the neighborhood, and I wanted to invite you to our club.
What kind of club?
It's called the Eliezer Club.
And what do they do at this club?
Oh, they teach about the Messiah.
That's fine. And who do you think is the Messiah?
Why, it's Jesus Christ.
What? You, a Jew, are not ashamed to say that this illegitimate imposter, Jesus, is our Messiah?
Yes. If Jesus is not the Messiah, then you tell me who is.
Even the rabbis can't answer that.
Come on, see for yourself. Yeshua came first as a suffering servant, the Passover Lamb of God, slain for our sins. He is God's supreme sacrifice, for the Jew first.
Do you keep the Jewish holidays?
Not anymore. Yeshua fulfilled them.
Do you say Kaddish for your father?
No. Your eternal destiny is settled with God in this life. After death, it's too late. The Bible says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment."
I'd feel guilty if I didn't say Kaddish.
Christ has set me free from guilt and shame. My life is filled with joy and purpose. And I know beyond a doubt that I will spend eternity with him.
Morris, you can't convert me.
Brother, I know I can't, but the Holy Spirit can.
With misgivings and apprehension, I entered the home of this Hebrew Christian, expecting to see idols. Instead, I saw the happy faces of young Jews like me. They met in the home of an older Hebrew Christian.
Welcome, Arthur. I'm Esther. Where are you from?
Poland. I'm an Ashkenazic Jew. My father's a rabbi.
Don't worry, Arthur. We're all Jews here. This is my son, Isaac Feinstone. He's a missionary to our people.
My sister's named Esther, and my brother is also named Isaac.
Shalom, Arthur. The Lord bless you.
We meet every Thursday to worship the Lord. I hope you can join us. Come on, I'll introduce you to the others.
They sang hymns in Yiddish about the Savior, songs that touched my heart. After a simple gospel message, they prayed, and I realized they were actually worshiping the God of Israel, calling upon Him as their Heavenly Father. I had never known of such simple familiarity with God. He seemed so near to them while I was so far from Him. But each meeting seemed to draw me closer until I longed for those Thursday night meetings. One night, Mr. Feinstone read to me from the New Testament.
Arthur, listen to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years.
I cannot leave the God of Israel and bow to an image called Jesus Christ.
We have not left the God of Israel. We love him. We worship and adore him. There is only one true God, and he is God, the God of Israel. Furthermore, we agree that idolatry is a great sin. You see any idols here?
No.
Arthur, Christ died for you because he loves you.
I don't believe in the New Testament. But if you show me Christ in the Old Testament, I will believe.
Fine. We'll begin with the Torah, the Psalms, and the prophets.
To my great astonishment, he showed me Christ on almost every page. Then I thought of another argument. Mr. Feinstone, this is an English Bible, a translation from the original Hebrew, no doubt adulterated by your missionaries to make it read the way you want it to read, to deceive us Jews. Show me the Hebrew Bible and let me see if it says the same thing.
Certainly. Here, you follow along with me in the Hebrew Bible. All right, turn to Isaiah chapter 7, start at verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. All right? Mm-hmm. Now turn to chapter 53, starting at verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
It's the same.
Yes, it is.
I never knew this.
Look at chapter 49, verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Tell me, Arthur, do you believe the prophets?
Yes. I believe with a perfect faith that all the words of the prophets are true.
The prophecies all point to Jesus Christ as the Messiah.
A spiritual battle began in my heart. Could it be that all Israel had made a mistake? It wouldn't be the first time. We had broken the heart of Moses, persecuted and killed the prophets, gone into captivity because of our sins. Was Jesus Christ the Messiah, the Savior of the world? In my turmoil, 1923 came to an end,
and I was invited to a watch night service on December 31st. I was 17 years old and thought it was an all-night party. Instead, I listened as people gave their testimonies.
My friends, the old year is going out, and the new year is about to come in. Now, many of you have made and will make New Year's resolutions, but you neither kept them nor will you keep them. But God has resolved to keep you in Christ if you come to Him. The best way to start a new year is to start it with God. Let us pray.
I long to start the new year with God, but how? Jewish prayers are mainly taken from the Psalms, so I had recited prayers, but I had never really prayed to God. I remembered Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. So I did. O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if Jesus Christ is the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world, I want to know it. Like a panorama, every verse relating to the Messiah completely filled my mind. And at that moment, I surrendered to God and believed in my heart that Yeshua was the Messiah of Israel, my Savior. I knew that He died for me.
My brother, won't you come to Christ tonight and begin the new year with God?
I glanced at the clock as I moved to the altar and knelt. Something I had never done. It was exactly midnight as I prayed, asking God to forgive my evil thoughts, my cursings and blasphemies against His holy name. As I prayed, weeping, I felt the burden of sin slip away. I opened my eyes to find my friend, Maris, weeping and praying beside me, and we rejoiced together. I had found in Yeshua the Sabbath rest for my soul. My family felt differently.
You what?
Esther, I believe in Yeshua HaMashiach. He lives in me. And I've never felt such joy in all my life. Do you realize that He fulfills every prophecy in the Bible? Son of Abraham, son of David, son of God.
Blasphemy! There is no end to your evil.
No, Isaac. It's true. We've been wrong to reject Him.
You are wrong.
How could you do something like that?
You shame us.
You will break our parents' heart, Abraham. I disown you.
Get out of here. And don't ever come back. You're dead. Out. 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 Never come back.
My family, my employer, the place where I roomed, all were Jewish, and all cursed me and threw me out for my new faith. I wandered the snowy streets of Toronto in January and faced death by starvation, if not by freezing. Satan taunted me with doubt and fear. Go back and recant. But how could I turn away from Christ, the lover of my soul? I had no gloves, no parka, no boots, but I had Jesus. Exhausted, I went to Mrs. Esther's house. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him.
Arthur! Come in, my son. You're half frozen. We give you our hearts and our home until the Lord sends you deliverance. Sit down, and I'll fix you a cup of tea and some biscuits. The kettle is hot. I know what you're going through. Remember what Yeshua said. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you.
Yes, I know.
I have a Hebrew Bible in its original language for you, Arthur. God has promised to never leave you or forsake you.
How's the job search going, Arthur?
My trade is controlled by Jews, so all doors are closed to me.
God will open the right door.
What about some other trade? Farming, maybe.
I thought of that.
Don't be discouraged, Arthur.
I was discouraged before I came here, freezing in the cold, and the devil himself tried to get me to go back to my family and recant.
Now, the devil is a liar.
Indeed. The Lord reminded me of His promise in Psalm 27. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And He did.
through both of you.
How can we not love others when he loves us so much?
I am forever grateful to both of you for putting up with all my arguments.
He is faithful, Arthur.
It's amazing. All those feasts we celebrate each year suddenly make sense. Yeshua is our Passover. He is our Sabbath rest. He is our Feast of Trumpets. He is our Atonement. And the Feast of Tabernacles? I understand what it means to dwell in the secret place of the Most High and tabernacle there with him.
Have you ever thought of going to Bible college, Arthur?
Well, most certainly. I cannot be silent about this great salvation. God has called me to carry the good news to my people. But first, I need to earn some money. I went to work on a farm in Ontario, Canada, and returned to Toronto in September in order to go to Bible college. But I became gravely ill and had emergency surgery to remove my thyroid gland. When I recovered, I went to Bible college in Chicago, where I met and fell in love with Emma, Mrs. Esther's only daughter. We attended the same Bible college. After our marriage and graduation, we served the Lord first in Buffalo, New York, then in Toronto. What a privilege when God called us to Buenos Aires, Argentina, where we pioneered Jewish evangelism among our people there. Romans chapter 5, verse 11 says, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement."
Arthur Glass finished the work Jehovah had for him to do and has gone home to his Savior. This testimony was taken from his autobiography and from his family and friends who carry on the ministry. We hope this story has helped you understand God's awesome grace and love in sending Christ Jesus to die in our place so that we could have the gift of salvation and eternal life. To learn more about new life in Christ or to counsel with someone about this life-changing decision, you're invited to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago is 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. It is our prayer that this program has encouraged you in your walk with the Lord. If so, tell others to listen. And please remember to thank the manager of this station for bringing you Unshackled. This is program number 2562. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true life stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Hearing from you is a highlight of our day, so please write soon. The address: Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Don't know which way to turn? Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who knows the way. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462. Thank you.